Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Philip Reichen to the podcast. Dr. Reichen serves as president of Wheaton College and has published more than 50 books, including Ecclesiastes, Why Everything Matters, and the Preach the Word commentary series. Dr. Reichen, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Allen. It's good to be on the podcast.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, and as I mentioned to you before the recording began, this is a series we do where we talk to different authors of commentaries on preaching particular books of the Bible. So I've been looking forward to having you on for some time to talk about preaching Ecclesiastes. I have appreciated your ministry from afar back at 10th Presbyterian Church and now, of course, at Wheaton. And before you, your father on numerous occasions was very kind to me and appreciated his work over the years as well. So it's just good to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate my dad, too, and I love it when people have a chance to benefit from his teaching.
So before we get into the topic of the podcast, how about a brief word of update on you and on your ministry at Wheaton College and how we might pray for you and what we might find encouraging?
Yeah, thank you. So many things are encouraging. I love the mission of Wheaton College. I was just talking to some of our newest employees, and I said I love a mission statement that starts with Jesus Christ and ends with worldwide. And this is a good week to think about it because we're in kind of our spring season, and we have students in Puerto Rico doing hurricane relief. We've got mission teams in Mexico, and we just recently had on campus Andrew and Noreen Brunson, who are both Wheaton alums. They were this has been widely covered. They were both imprisoned, Andrew for 2 years in Turkey, and just to come back and have them come back to campus, hear their testimony, their sense of God's call in their lives, encourage students in their calling. It's been a good season for us at Wheaton College.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, listen, let's talk about preaching Ecclesiastes. Now, take me back as far as to your commentary. And obviously, you served for many years as a preaching associate and then senior minister at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And then your preaching associate years with Dr. James Montgomery Boyce. And the pulpit ministry, when did you preach Ecclesiastes? Was there a defined series you did? Or tell us about when you first began to engage the book in a serious way.
Yeah, so what I love to do is just start at the beginning of a book of the Bible and preach right through to the end. And it was, customary when I was in ministry in Philadelphia, would always be preaching through a book of the Bible and, generally trying to be some of the time in the Old Testament, some of the time in the New Testament, and try to have some variety in that preaching so that the congregation was getting maybe a balanced diet over time. I had preached through the Solomon narratives in the books of the Kings, and Ecclesiastes really struck me as a great follow-up to the tragic story of Solomon that we read in Kings. And I think there are some significant connections between Ecclesiastes and the life of Solomon. So that was part of it. I didn't preach Ecclesiastes right after Kings, I don't think, but I think I preached it a little bit afterwards so people could still remember the narrative. And this would have been, I'm guessing, around 2008, sometime like that. And so I worked my way through the book, preaching about 25 sermons through Ecclesiastes. And then I revisited it a couple of years ago here on campus at Wheaton. I preach about 10 times a year in chapel, and it struck me that even though I couldn't do every passage, couldn't do a full exposition of every verse in Ecclesiastes in 10 messages, over the course of a year, I could really cover the main themes, some of the main texts in Ecclesiastes. And so it was something I revisited here and had a chance to preach again at Wheaton College.
Now, the Wheaton College series, did your book, Why Everything Matters, The Gospel in Ecclesiastes, did that stem from the series there at Wheaton?
Yeah, correct. So I've had the privilege of publishing both a longer expository commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes and a shorter book, which is still, I think generally, I think it's an expositional book. It's coming out of a preaching context, but maybe a little simplified, certainly shorter, and a little more thematic, and really oriented towards application. And that's the little book you mentioned, Why Everything Matters.
So let's hop into the book. I want to ask my first question, really stemming from that second book, and that is your cut line, The Gospel in Ecclesiastes. Help us to understand where we see, how we can see the gospel in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, so my conviction really is that, everything in Scripture ultimately points us towards Jesus Christ. And there's a particular way to preach the gospel from every passage in Scripture. And part of my conviction as a preacher is that in one way or another, any message that I give, I want to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ as the forgiveness for our sins and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as our hope for eternal life, so that there's always a cross and an empty tomb, crucifixion, resurrection, emphasis really in every sermon. And there are so many different ways to see the gospel in the Scriptures. I think one of the ways we see the gospel in Ecclesiastes is partly because of its honesty, some would say, about the troubles of life, because of what some would regard maybe as a little bit more of a half-empty than a half-full view of life. It really shows us our need for Jesus Christ, the emptiness and despair of a life without him. So one of the ways that I think Ecclesiastes helps us understand the gospel is by contrast. It's not a book that is, in the narrow sense of the word, prophetic of Jesus Christ, the way the prophetic books would be. But I think it is a book to be understood in a gospel context.
So, as you think about preaching Ecclesiastes, and you mentioned you did it in 10 sermons there at Wheaton, and then more substantially back in Philadelphia, help us to understand when you approach the book as a preacher, as an expositor, what are some of the big picture macro themes to keep in mind?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, one of the things I like to do is really, read through a book well in advance of a preaching series, read through it again, be in the book devotionally in advance of that. And, there are a lot of purposes for doing that. One is just familiarity with the book and how it fits together. And honestly, when I do a sermon series through a book, I typically, at the end of the series, I have a much better idea of how I should have preached it than I did at the beginning. And that's okay. Sometimes, things emerge, themes emerge and become more important to you as you preach through a book, and there's an element of discovery, and I think that can really be encouraging and helpful for a congregation. But I also think, the better you understand the book and how it all fits together, I think there definitely is a contrast. Certainly there's this ongoing theme of vanity, that which is insubstantial, that which is ephemeral, that which is quickly passing. And that's a repeated term and, repeated theme in the book of Ecclesiastes. So the emptiness of life, the brevity of life, things having to do with how frail our earthly existence is. I think another key theme in the book is a clear contrast between certain shorter passages in the book in which there is a sense of satisfaction of the blessings of life. And there is one of the phrases that the author often uses is this phrase, under the sun. And there's an under the sun existence, kind of the world taken on its own terms, the world leaving God out of the picture, the world as it is in itself. That's the dominant motif of Ecclesiastes, this under the sun existence. But then you get these glimpses of satisfaction, the joy that we can take in our work, in some of the simple pleasures of life, in the timeliness of God's blessings for us. And this is one of those books because this alternate perspective of satisfaction, living life before God and under God, because those passages in the book are less frequent, I think they come through with greater force. So even though it's the maybe secondary motif in the book as a whole, it takes a kind of primacy when we really study the book. I think the limitations of things like power and wealth, that's an important theme in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes kind of tears down some of the presumptions of that people have about the things that really are significant or lasting or enduring. Money and power are two of those things. I would also say another not insignificant theme is the aging process, the approach of death, and then the finality of death itself. I mean, Ecclesiastes is a book that definitely confronts you with the reality of death. These are some of the important themes of Ecclesiastes. And I'll say, too, some of these themes come through more strongly and more poignantly in Ecclesiastes than they do almost anywhere else in the Bible. So there are certain kinds of themes that if we really want to understand the biblical teaching, Ecclesiastes is a really important place for us to turn.
Yeah, as you were even recounting kind of the high points of the book, I kept thinking of the word relevant in my mind. I mean, everything from issues of vanity to wealth, to power, to weakness, to aging, to death. I mean, these are all 21st century realities that are on the minds of people, both within the church and outside of the church. And the book just seems to drip with relevance for contemporary preachers. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely would agree. And one index of this for me is one of the things I like to do when I'm getting ready for a sermon series and while I'm in a book is I just try to collect as much illustrative material. You know, something happens in the news or you see a celebrity, you know, speaking out on a certain theme or you happen to notice something in your reading. And Ecclesiastes is one of those books where you're just never going to run out of illustrative material on, you know, what happens to your money when you die or how suddenly death may overtake you. I mean, some of these things that come up in Ecclesiastes, they're just always coming up in the news. There's a universality to the book that makes it always a timely book. You know, there's a famous passage in the early in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And I would say any time is a good time for the book of Ecclesiastes. It has a sort of timeliness. And, then I will say that I think whether it's preaching to a city congregation, speaking to college students, there's just a lot that's very relevant and practical for everybody's life.
Dr. Reichen, let me just stop you there for just a moment. We have a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back in the studio talking with Dr. Philip Reichen, reflecting on preaching Ecclesiastes. So if you were to sharpen the theme of the book, say, to one sentence or one paragraph, what would you argue that key theme is?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I think that's a really good practice for preachers to be in, both for a particular sermon and also for maybe for a book as a whole. And I think even if that's an attempt you take that you ultimately revise, the fact that you've taken a stab at that, helps you because then you, as you go on in the book, you realize, I said it this way, but now I think I need to refine that and make that a little bit sharper. And there are a couple of ways that I would think about the theme of Ecclesiastes. I mean, I have the title for the little book I did, Why Everything Matters. I think that's a really good way of looking at the book of Ecclesiastes because it tells you so many things that don't matter and why they don't matter. And those things overwhelm people sometimes, the futility of life. And Ecclesiastes is really honest about that. But in the context of showing you what doesn't matter, it actually also shows you what does matter. It's God, His goodness, His sovereignty over life, ultimately his grace for us. So I think that's one way of looking at the book. I also see in Ecclesiastes a contrast between life under the sun and an above the sun perspective that we can also take. Life under the sun is, you know, just earthly existence, leaving God out of the picture. But, you know, there is a creator God who is over the sun and over all things there are over our entire lives. And so I think the futility of life under the sun and the goodness of life when viewed from an above the sun perspective. And so I think overall, you know, maybe to come back to your question, Dr. Allen, the purpose of Ecclesiastes is really to help us feel the futility of life lived by purely earthly values, to feel that and then to lead us to seek satisfaction in God himself and in spiritual values. So those are maybe a few ways of framing the theme or meaning of Ecclesiastes.
Well stated. I want to come back to the idea of preaching Christ from the book of Ecclesiastes. For preachers listening to the podcast, how would you just practically encourage them to preach Christ from the book of Ecclesiastes? To do that in a way that's faithful, that isn't bending the text, but that is able to draw lines from Ecclesiastes to the person and work of Jesus.
Yeah, so you know that's a great question, really to be thinking about for any passage in Scripture, and maybe particularly so for Old Testament texts. And I think some of the real models for me have been Edmund Clowney and his approach to preaching Christ through all the Scriptures. Sidney Greidanus has done some great thinking about, you know, how to preach the Old Testament. And then there are, you know, people that just really give good good examples of preaching from the Old Testament. My friend Ian Duguid is, I think, a really good model for following in that. So it's hard for me to say, like, here are the rules you should follow, or here's a three-step process. I think there's something maybe more intuitive. I think there are some principles that can be followed in it. But I do think it's something maybe a little more caught than taught. And one of the best things that we can do is listen to preachers and read preachers that really have an affinity for it. So a couple things that I'll say, you know, specific to Ecclesiastes. I think one is something that I've already said, which is look for the empty places in life that are so clearly expressed in Ecclesiastes and ask yourself the question, how does Jesus Christ offer himself as the remedy, the alternative, the satisfaction that's in contrast with what seems to be missing in Ecclesiastes. So that's one sort of thematic aspect of Ecclesiastes to really look at. And you know, here's just one example, maybe if I can turn to one here that might be helpful for us. I've got my Bible open. I'm looking here in the early verses of, well, actually the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And it's this idea that you have these gifts and blessings from God during this life, but eventually you've got to pass them over to somebody else. You know, your life passes quickly. It passes like a shadow, the preacher says in verse 12. And then it leaves you with this very provocative question. Who can tell man what will be after him under the sun? And that is a problem of human existence that I think weighs upon us more heavily as life goes on and as we have life experience of suffering and death. But, you know, Jesus Christ has answers to those problems because he gives us a clear testimony of life after death, of a place that he has gone to prepare for us in his Father's house. And Ecclesiastes leaves us with a frustration, a limitation, and a question for which Jesus Christ provides the ultimate answer. Or, you know, here's another example. There's a lot of Ecclesiastes falls into the category of wisdom literature. The beginning of chapter 7 You have a contrast between wisdom and folly. They're personified. And there's a lot of just practical wisdom that you can gain just from the things that are said about the wise way to live, the foolish way to live. But, you know, the scripture is very clear that Jesus Christ is presented to us as wisdom from God. And so how is the wisdom that is pointed to in Ecclesiastes 7, how does that become incarnate in Jesus Christ? And what do we learn about the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ? And what do we learn perhaps from Ecclesiastes in a specific way that we wouldn't learn from anywhere else in Scripture? One of the things I think is really important is getting into the details of the biblical text, in this case, into the details of the Old Testament text. And the more precise I can be about the kind of wisdom that is described and held forth as a virtue, the more specific I can be about the kind of wisdom that God has presented to us and offered us, provided for us in Jesus Christ. Those are just a couple of examples, but I think some of the principles there are looking closely at the details of the Old Testament text, looking both for elements of contrast, things that are incomplete, which only Christ can satisfy, but also looking for good and virtuous things about the character of God that come to a greater fulfillment and a more redemptive fulfillment in the person of Christ. So there's both a contrast that shows you the person and work of Christ in the context of the full scriptures, but there's also a better and best comparison between the good things that we see about God in Ecclesiastes and how they come to their fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Very well said. Dr. Reichen, our time is rapidly coming to a conclusion here, but let me try to pull the conversation this way with one final question. You've written two books on Ecclesiastes. You've preached the book. You know it very well, even as evidenced by this conversation today. I'm curious, and doubtlessly our listeners would be as well, what are some personal takeaways that you've gleaned from the book after having spent so much time in it over the years?
Yeah, so I really love Ecclesiastes, and I really loved it since I was a child. It's one of the books my father really enjoys, and I've heard him teach in various contexts. So that, I think, and he always loved the book of Ecclesiastes. And so I think that awakened an appetite for this book in my life. I think a couple themes that I would point to personally, and I think there are, you know, probably some things we've touched on a little bit. I think it's a very important task for every believer, not only to live well before God, but also to prepare well to die well. I think this is a lifelong preparation. I think it's something we can pray about from time to time. Lord, when my time on this earth is ready to come to a close, help me to be ready to do that and leave this world in a way that really honors you and expresses faith in you. And I think Ecclesiastes, for me, is a book to remind me to think about my mortality more often, to feel the weight of it, but also not in a hopeless way, just recognizing that this life is not all there is, that there is hope for me beyond beyond this world, beyond the sun. So that would be one thing. Another thing that I think to me is helpful about Ecclesiastes is it puts some of the disappointments in life into perspective, you know, whether it's a financial reversal. One thing that I've observed is people, maybe in the world generally, but particularly in the church, they're better at starting things than at ending things in a God-honoring way. It's helpful to have a book in the Bible that says, you know, there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time to be born, but there's also a time to die. There's a time to plant, that is, to start something, see it come to life. There's also a time to pluck up what is planted. And I think strengthened for me a sense that God is sovereign over all the circumstances of life, the downs as well as the ups, the endings as well as the beginnings. And I think Ecclesiastes teaches us, has taught me, to have a sober view of life that is realistic but ultimately hopeful. And I think that's a perspective that is very important for parents to have. I think it's very important for people in ministry to have, with all the ups and downs in ministry. I think it's very important for Christian leaders to have that realistic but ultimately hopeful perspective that we find in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Dr. Eichen, we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for the conversation. You have pointed us to the marvels of Ecclesiastes, and you've connected us to Christ, and what an encouraging conversation this has been.
Thank you.
And may the Lord bless you and your family, your ministry there at Wheaton and beyond, and thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.